now on Alive 90.5. Here's the latest news, brought to you by PACE, transforming places since 1978.
National Radio News.
Hello, I'm Laura Devoy. The global coronavirus death toll continues to surge, with the number now surpassing 300,000. The US remains the worst affected country, with nearly 86,000 fatalities, followed by the UK with more than 33,000. Italy is the only other country to have more than 30,000 deaths caused by COVID-19. France has overtaken Spain's death toll again. Both countries have reported more than 27,000 fatalities. Brazil now has the sixth highest death toll, with just under 14,000. Australia's death toll remains at 98. The US president has labelled a coronavirus expert who accused the government of not moving quickly when the outbreak began as angry and disgruntled. Dr. Rick Bright says he was demoted from leading the agency in charge of developing a COVID-19 vaccine after raising concerns not enough was being done to prepare for an outbreak in the US. Dr. Bright told Congress lives were lost as a result of the three-month delay in responding to warnings about the virus. President Donald Trump says he's not concerned by Dr. Bright's claims.
There are a lot of people that do not like the job he did. I don't know him. I never met him. I don't want to meet him. But I watched him, and he looks like an angry, disgruntled employee who, frankly, according to some people, didn't do a very good job.
The United Nations says there is widespread psychological distress as a result of the coronavirus pandemic, made worse by a long-term lack of investment in mental health care in many countries. The BBC's Imogen Folks reports.
From frontline health professionals to laid-off workers to families struggling to homeschool and work under lockdown, to elderly people suffering loneliness and anxiety, the COVID-19 pandemic is taking a severe toll on mental health. Today, the United Nations said governments should act immediately to minimise the consequences by making mental health an essential part of their response. This should include strategies to create nurturing environments for children confined to home, action to prevent domestic violence, and help to alleviate poverty caused by the economic effects of the pandemic.
Australia's National Cabinet is meeting today to consider government responses to the toll COVID-19 has had on mental health. A new survey shows 80% of Australians support a ban on the global wildlife trade. The wildlife trade has been described as a hotbed for disease, with warnings it could increase the risk of pandemics. COVID-19 is widely suspected to have originated in a wet market in China. Ben Pearson from World Animal Protection says he is pushing for a global ban.
World Animal Protection is urging the Prime Minister Scott Morrison and other G20 leaders to support a permanent ban on the wildlife trade. That ban is essential to protect animals, to protect public health, and to protect the global economy.
The AFL has taken its first tentative steps towards a season resumption, with all clubs to return to training on Monday. The league's resumption date will be announced in less than an hour, with games to resume in mid-June with no spectators. And AFL CEO Gillon McLachlan has told Melbourne radio station 3AW the MCG is no certainty to host the grand final.
The challenge of now is the exact date, and if you said sort of late in October, then there's a T20 World Cup. I know the speculation around that. There's just a lot of moving pieces.
National Radio News is supported by the Judith Nielsen Institute for Journalism and Ideas and the Community Broadcasting Foundation, cbf.org.au.
And now for the latest weather on Alive 90.5. Brought to you by Concise Finance, your local mortgage broker.
It's currently 15.5 degrees, looking towards a low of 9 degrees overnight. Some showers are across the Sydney Basin right now. And it's going to be partly cloudy, and the medium chance of showers will continue, most likely this afternoon and evening, and then grading off to a slight chance of shower in the west. The sun will set tonight at 5:03. Looking for the rest of the week and weekend. Saturday, possible shower, 9-19. Sunday, mostly sunny, 8-20. And Monday, back to work week at 9-20. And the moon is a last quarter just right now.
The updated traffic brought to you by Fernwood Gym of Seven Hills and North Rocks on Alive 90.5.
Well, even with the wet roads, there's nothing much to report at the moment, just the usual scheduled roadworks around. So without further ado, we're going to get into our show. This is Business Insights with Mario, every Friday from midday to 2, and also Wednesdays while we're in the COVID special. Good afternoon, Mario. How are you?
Good afternoon, Darren. How have you been?
Good. You're not too wet?
No, you just parked the car and started raining. You know what I mean? I was like, you know, I was looking, it's going to be sunny, it's going to be rain, but certainly coming into the deep autumn, it's going to be very wet, and the winter is behind the corner. You agree?
It will. Let's update everyone's spirits with some great interviews. I know we
have two exceptional guests
lined up for this afternoon, and I'm really looking forward to it, and so much that I even got my hair cut today.
Yes, after eight weeks. I must say, when I walked inside in the studio, I saw the Darren. I said, "Dad, did you like haircut?" He says, "Yes." So as from today, as you many know, New South Wales has ease restrictions. We can have 10 people in coffee shop and restaurant. What else we can do today, Darren?
Clubs and bars are open.
We can be in the park. Yeah, exactly. 10 people.
And exercise with each other a bit more, up to 10 people. So
yeah, we can
be
like a Teletubbies, you know. We can hug now each other on the rain and the day. Well. Something like this. So like, but it's good to hear the Alive 90.5. I'd like to say thank you to all our listeners, Alive 90.5, Business Insights with Mario, and as well to all our sponsors for keeping this great radio station in Sydney, not just alive, but a very, very, very prosperous radio station. Now it's time to introduce our guests, or what would you go do?
Yeah, take it away, Mario.
Okay, we have two wonderful guests today. As always, we bring the voices to you, the people who can inspire you, empower you, and make you feel better and more proactive and happier. Of course, our first guest, her name is Ruchi Motiyalsuri. She's a leadership consultant and mentor based in Sydney. Ruchi, she draw her inspiration from over 25 years of multi-domain corporate experience. I know the Ruchi for some time, and I spoke to her in several occasions, and I know she's a very, very happy person, always smiling. Now, I know she's dealing with a neuro-linguistic programming training to bring about transformation change, and her program is also designed to set up leaders and their teams for success by focusing on people their needs. Now, instead of me reading her bio, how about we bring her online, David? Darren.
Indeed, and she is online. Good afternoon, Ruchi. How are you?
Good afternoon. Thank you, guys. I'm really well. And I have this imagery in front of me of Darren, your fresh haircut with Teletubbies in the background somewhere.
Oh, I don't want to ask really how do you imagine me then? If you say that Darren has a Teletubbies behind.
I just think about haircuts, and Mario has it easy. But for me, I was a dish mop, it felt like, after 8 weeks of no haircut.
Yeah, look, I just, Ruchi, when you meet Darren, and the good news it is, sorry to interrupt the interview with Ruchi, as from next week, Darren and I, we will be able to guest house one guest in a studio.
Just one guest at the moment.
Just one guest at a time. I'm sorry, Ruchi, you know, you need to come back to us, you know, so we can take a lot of selfies and videos with you. Ruchi, how's your morning so far? Or like should say afternoon. It's 12:08.
Yeah, no, look, it's been pretty good and productive.
Yes.
I think that's what COVID-19's done to us, so given us more time to do more things.
More
now
things.
That we don't have to commute as much.
Do you believe that people take advantage of this COVID-19 to spend more time watching the Netflix and browsing the new shows or the losing the weight? I'm not talking about myself, I'm talking about my friends' walks, because I'm seeing my street, everybody's walking like a crazy. Darren, did you notice there's no bicycles to buy in New South Wales anymore?
No bikes.
No
They're
bikes.
All sold out.
Yeah, unbelievable, eh? Ruchi,
it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah,
wow.
Ruchi, so how did you spend your last 2 months in lockdown? First, tell us this one. What did you done for the COVID during the COVID-19 for yourself and for your clients?
You know, what I've done is I've been running training programs which were face-to-face, Mario, as you know, and COVID-19, and a lot of people told me that take them online, and I was like, no, I really like this face-to-face interaction. But with COVID-19, I didn't have a choice. So I took my courses online, and that's the best thing I've ever done.
Really?
So suddenly, yeah, absolutely. So I run this leadership program, and I've got my first batch of the new leaders who've signed up to it, and we are already 1 month into the program.
Interesting. And, that's very interesting. Very, very appropriate.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's really worked out well, because what I've done is I haven't kept the traditional online format. I've really created a virtual room where we hang around together
yes.
And have some really awesome conversations. So The participants are loving it, and I'm loving it as a course instructor. And
Course, the love instructor. Who not love the instructor? When Darren and I, when I said to Darren, who's our guest, you know, because we talk, you know, I mean, and you know, even he says this, you know, before we start, you know, being on air, he said, Ruchi, she looks like, you know, very, very, you know, I mean, skilled person, entrepreneur. But Ruchi, before we continue about your skills and your training programs and why the Zoom training, it's on, you know, I mean, you've done it that way. Can you tell our audience who is Ruchi Motiel Suri? If I pronounce your surname badly, please just correct me.
Okay, so that's where we should start, Mario. Excellent work. You have actually pronounced it as well as I would do it myself. So well done there.
High five, actually, Mario. High five.
Yes. So like, well, that's a good one. It's easy to read. Eh? So who is Ruchi? Who is that mysterious person who helps the hundreds of people and great leadership skills bringing to other people? Because when we talk about leadership, and I say like you and I, we have one conversation, you know, you saw the leadership one way, I saw the other one. But there is a lot of people there who talks about leadership, but not many deliver leaders out of their training program like yourself. So Ruchi, it's your 5 minutes. So introduce yourself to all the or more.
That's an interesting one. That should roll off my tongue, but it doesn't. So I once described myself to somebody. I said, you know what, look at me as, in school we used to do Venn diagrams. So you would have circles that would then sit over one on top of another and you'd have overlapping pieces. So I used three circles in my life. Number one, I'm a mother. Number two, I'm a project manager. And number three, I'm a leadership coach. And to me, they all sit together, overlapping. And when they intersect in the center, that's me.
Yeah, please shoot.
No, go for it.
Do you believe, like, I just want to ask you, do you believe that mothers are creating the leaders through education?
Yes. Absolutely. And that's why I use it very proudly as part of my definition, because it's a two-way thing. I've learned a lot from being a parent as well. So it's not just that I have, you know, been the parent. I've learned a lot because what children, and you don't have to be a parent yourself, even, you know, if child workers will tell you, what it teaches us is behavioral flexibility. It teaches us to take action. Even when you're down and out and you don't have a choice, but you have to take action. And leadership, as we've talked in the past, I define leadership slightly differently to what normal people define, I think, Mario.
I know, we disagree on that one, you and I. We have the very, very, very spicy conversation about this one. But I'm just joking, but please continue.
Yeah, no, I use that as an example now, your definition of leadership.
Yes.
So I've added that to my repertoire. So leadership for me is about influencing results. Leadership for me is a person who will take an action, a person who's at cause, not somebody who's waiting for other people to come and rescue them or do things for them. So if you look at it, leader is not somebody necessarily who's managing a team of people, because even where you're managing a team of people, if you can't lead the team to successful results, then you're not a leader, you're just a manager. And leadership starts with us as an individual. So if I can't take action in my life to make a change for the better in my own life, then I'm not being a leader. So leadership doesn't necessarily involve immediate team that is reporting to you whose performance review you're going to do. Leadership involves everybody, the larger community, the world you live in, you yourself. And that's why you have world leaders. These are people who didn't wait for alignment of the world. These are people who took the first action themselves. Mm-hmm. So that's why these three bits, you know, fit in very well for me, because as a parent, that's what I learned. Then through my years of work that I've done, which has been leading large and complex projects, and mainly projects that weren't working well, so helping teams who were not delivering to turn around and deliver, you know, turning their environment from a really frustrated, tough environment to a happy place where they felt motivated to deliver. That is leadership. And now I take all of that and I package it and I do training where other people can create happy environments for, you know, for the world that they live in, whether it's their direct team, whether it's the clients they deal with, whether it's their suppliers they deal with. We can make our environment in such a way that we can inspire other people to take the action and do it willingly so that you get the results you want and still have fun.
Yeah, I'm just, so I was just looking at Darren now and that's like, you know, how calm and peaceful you're talking. That is very, very unusual. Now, we spoke about leadership. So what makes you to this position that you become the coach and lead people? How did you start your career?
I started my career, God, many years ago, nearly three decades ago.
Oh, in last century, I know that I was...
Darren, he's jumping over the consoles on me.
Like, be nice, okay, yes. So
Darren, it's okay. I'm used to it. I'm called the dinosaur in my family, so it's all good. My sister tells me I was born ancient. So I take that to mean I'm an old soul. So thank you, Mario.
No, you're welcome, mate.
Well, I think old souls have the best wisdom, so please keep sharing.
What do you think how old I am? You know, I'm not like a 25 years old, I'm 48 years old. You know, I mean, I was the same thing. So, like, you know, you started last century, your career, but you didn't start it as a leader. Obviously, you started your career in let's just say, the bottom of the corporate chain or business, if I may say.
Yeah, look, that's interesting because... So it's a story that I have to tell there.
Please.
I started as a software programmer, and you know my background is Indian, and I always thought, as I think most Indians think, that being a technically expert person means that you're brilliant. So I always wanted to be. I always saw myself as this hotshot techie. And between you and me and the rest of the world, I was terrible at programming. I don't have the patience. So, interestingly, shortly into my career, which was about a month, no, not a month, about a year, 6 months to a year, I was made the project leader.
Yes.
For the project that was being run. And I was not very happy because I thought, oh my God, I must have joined the wrong company.
Why were you not happy? You know,
because I thought maybe the company was so small, they thought that... they don't have anybody else, so they've picked me up and given me a promotion.
Okay.
So my thoughts of being a technical expert were very short-lived. I was, you know, quickly promoted into leading a team. And quite a few years later, my boss said to me, he said, you know, I thought I was doing you a favor because you had leadership skills and we thought we can use that because... In about 2 years, I left that job because I still wanted to be a technology person. And then I realized, no, because shortly again, I was lifted up and I was...
Darren, he's dying to ask a question.
No, I was just thinking, your experience parallels mine a lot. And looking at your bio, you and I are quite similar. I'm a technical person, engineer, now into leadership myself. And I parallels a lot the same. And the first time you're into it, you kind of think, I actually ran away from one job to another because I wanted to keep being the techie, just like you. But it's interesting how in the end we work it out and make a deal of it.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That's very interesting. Nice way, Ruchi, yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, and see, that's leadership for me, to even recognize that's who you are. You know, that is leadership. That's taking first step and taking action because in my case, it had to be drilled into my head that I was actually good at managing and leading people because one of my jobs, my manager, he said, you know, you're like the parking lot. So anybody who doesn't, who can't work well with other people, we move them into your team. And if they can't work well with you, then they have to go because there's nowhere else for them to go.
That's amazing, like Ruchi. And we've been discussing a lot with people the idea of self-awareness. Do you think that is important in a leader? And what has been your journey of self-awareness over time?
Yeah, self-awareness is very important. So the leadership program that I've put together, it runs for 6 months. And the first month
six months.
We talk about.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's an online program. The first module, which runs for a month, is emotional intelligence. And people who have studied about emotional intelligence will know the very core aspect of emotional intelligence is self-awareness. And self-awareness, and this is through my journey, I've realized that as a society, we are always told, and it doesn't matter which cultural background we come from, we are always told that you need to improve yourself. You know, as human beings, we are continuously striving to improve ourselves.
That's correct, yeah.
Which is a great thing, but I think it's about time. At some point, we have to say, you know, we are who we are. What is my strength? How can I use my strength? Because as I use my strength, it takes me forward. And if I'm aware of my weaknesses, I will fix my weaknesses. But let's use our strengths as well, because that's our gift. That's the gift that we have. So how can we share that gift to make, you know, the rest of the world successful? And I'm not talking about being one of those people who's been born to save the world. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about simple things. We all have really good strengths. But what happens is in trying to improve ourselves continuously, we continue to self-doubt ourselves. Because when we are talking about improving, at what point are we going to say that we are now good enough to start delivering? So while you're aware of your weaknesses, I suggest that we really need to be even more aware of our strengths, because that's the gift we've been given to share. So start sharing. Don't be selfish. Don't keep
I just love your voice. You know, away. I just I'm just listening, because usually interrupting people, like, you know, I'm like Alan Jones. One interview takes 78% of conversation to myself, you know what I mean? So Darren needs to smack me. But the thing it is, you have this, such a calm voice, which it gives you reassurance to the person who you train and who you coaching is going to be good. Because most of the conversations I do have, people have a tendency to change the voice, the sound, and the color of the voice. But you know, it's continuously calm, Ruchi. But Ruchi, we'll take you for the short break, couple of minutes. Have the glass of water. We'll come back. You're listening to Live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Darren, and we will be back later with our guest Ruchi.
I'm alive, and the world's trying that paying for a funeral can be a financial burden. However, have you ever thought of paying off a prepaid funeral? With none of the ongoing premiums that is associated with funeral insurance, $1,000 can get you started. Hills Family Funerals, a family-owned and operated business of 35 years, can make it easier for you. Call 02-9659-0900. Ask for Richard Spiteri or speak to one of the friendly staff members to learn how. Get assistance today. Call Hills Family Funerals, station sponsor.
Hi, Alan Barnes here from Durlpool Shop. I opened our shop intending to always listen, really listen, to our customers so we could fully understand and meet their pool needs. Along with that, we stocked the top brands of pool chemicals, cleaners, pumps, filters, heaters, fittings, spare parts, you name it. You'll find full details on our website at duralpoolshop.com.au, or better still, drop in and see me and the gang at Shop 2, 270 Newline Road, Dural. We'll help you to get your pool just the way you want it.
Dural Pool Shop, station sponsor.
You're listening to the sound of Alive 90.5.
It's 27 minutes past 12, 15 degrees, and you're on Business Insights with Mario, and we're talking with Rucci. Mario, take it away.
I just love Darren's voice. Darren, he brought the best past 2 weeks in this show, and I truly respect and appreciate for his time spending and producing this show. Rucci, thank you for being with us today in the studio. Well, I'm lying. You're not in the studio with us physically, but online. And as I mentioned on our conversation before the interview commenced, you know, we're going to have you back in the studio in person so we can talk to you and smile with you and take a lot of selfies. How this sounds for you, Rucci?
Thank you, Mario. Thank you for the opportunity to talk to your audience.
Look, I know that I know you're extremely busy, and I said, you know, I always try to give to listeners Alive 90.5, not just in Australia, but globally, to all our listeners who can tune on alive90.5.com.au website. You can hear the interview with Rucci Motiahsuri, and she's a truly unique and remarkable person, not just entrepreneur, but her calm voice makes me to talk even more. And the reason for that, it is she producing, manufacturing, labeling, and put out certified leaders. Why? Because she spent 25 years in a multi-domain corporate experience, and of course she knows what she's doing. Now, Rucci, question for you. There's a lot out there, particularly on LinkedIn, on other media, everybody talks about leadership. You tell me, to our listeners, what's the quality of the true leader? apart to be good looking, so, like me, or have big nice haircut like a Darren.
Yeah, so I haven't seen Darren's haircut, so I can't comment on that.
Yeah, let's talk about he's going to befriend you on Facebook. I just told him, you know, that's a Rucci, just befriend her, yes.
We'll take the selfies and share.
Yes. So what's the quality of the true leader? Because it's like I'm as a person, as an individual, I'm truly struggling, you know, I mean, to understand who are the leaders, because everybody has a different definition, different vision. And our listeners would like to know, our listeners on Live 90.5 would like to know Rucci. And only Rucci can answer that question, for simple reason, because I said, like, you have the great experience, and you are, even during the COVID-19, you are spend time to educate people to come out as a leader. So you tell us and our listeners, Rucci, leaders, what qualities need to have?
So we are not talking about your good looks then, Mario?
No, because I'm too hot, you know what I mean? So, like, you know, it's going to open the station. Darren, he just put it now, the aircon, to like minus 17. Yeah, so like, no, but look, but the quality mentally, or I was like emotionally, yeah, maybe physically, yeah. I don't know. Like, that's to say, that's what you are expert. You tell us.
Yeah, so, okay, so getting serious, because it is a serious topic. It's something very, very close to my heart. What is a good leader? And you're right, you know, a lot of people spend a lot of time looking the part. But I think if you are the part, if you feel the part, then the external looks, people will stop looking at what you actually look like. So you don't have to have the multi-million dollar suit on you to look like a leader. So what are the qualities of a leader? A leader has to have flexibility of behavior. A leader has to be able to lead a team, but at the same time be humble enough to let the team lead. And that's a very subtle thing. So I think it's Steve Jobs, and I often quote this. He said, why do we hire smart people and then tell them what to do? So that is the quality of the leader. You hire experts in their fields, and then with great humility, you have to let them show the way. Your job is to bring them together as a group of people who are different, but yet they deliver the one same outcome. So our quality as leaders is to get results. And we don't have to be the expert at every little thing. And I think that's where people lose track. So there's something I talk about a lot is significance, the need of significance in every individual. We all
need of significance.
Yeah, we all have that need. Now, a lot of people use it in the right way and some of us use it in the wrong way. And a typical leader that we see in corporates, or the stereotypical leader that we expect in corporates, is the person who has what we call unresourceful need for significance.
Can you explain? Can you elaborate this more? Unsignificant need. Did I hear this correctly? Unsignificant need, yeah?
Unresourceful
need. Sorry, I apologize. Unresourceful need, yes.
Yeah,
so who are those typical so-called leaders in corporate world, as you try to explain?
So those are the people who are all about themselves. So they're your typical, you know, what we call the boss. It's their way or the highway. And it's about their profile and it's about their respect and that kind of stuff. Now, a real leader is not that person. A real leader is somebody who will fulfill their need of significance through resourceful means, and they realize that growing their team and making their team successful is ultimately their growth and their success.
So let's go make a heated discussion now, because I really want, because we have the 1 hour, that's to say, Darren and I, we're going to look into calendar to have you here in the studio, because from next week we can have the guests in the studio one at a time. But my question does flow in your direction. Now, you mentioned the word bosses, unresourceful needs. They try to be the bosses. Now, when the company makes the KPIs, why is there so much sabotaging in corporate world when somebody try to do the better results, but that those bosses actually preventing those individuals to rise to the ranks of the leader and deliver these KPIs? Why is there such a conflict between those bosses, under the commas, and that people, individuals who try to comply with the KPIs and bring the best from themselves and the corporation?
I call it insecurity. So it's all
yes, I knew it. On that question, I'm asking for the friend Ruchi. During the COVID-19, there was a lot of uncertainty. It still is, no question asked. Now, if I watch carefully media, and I did, I didn't see many corporate leaders there in the public reassuring the employees everything's going to be okay. Are we talking about those bosses?
Yes and no. So let's look at COVID. The really good leaders were out there saying that we're in it together and it is as uncertain for you as it is for me.
Yes.
So that, you know, and a person who's secure in their ability to lead will be very open about everything, including the things that they don't know about, because that's why you've got your team there. Your team is there to fill the gaps that you have, and there is absolutely nothing wrong in letting them know that. But there's a way of letting them know that, because what happens is that makes your team feel valued, because they're there for a reason. Everybody likes to contribute and everyone likes to be then appreciated for their contribution. So let's allow other people to bring their best to the game.
Who are you, Ruchi? You know, you're just bringing the best. Like, even I'm like, I'm so happy and smiling that, you know, one professional like yourself, it's actually speaking the way how the most of employees would like to see their corporations and their leaders to be there. I do have the two questions for you. You mentioned something very interesting, you know, on this part of conversation. No need to have experience suit. Now, I have been taught that if you wanted to be in corporate world, some big shot, right, that you need to have the stand out with a beautiful handmade suits, but he says something differently out. Now, as an ex-military and as an ex, I would say, intelligence operative, I did wear the suits and uniforms, and only was required for me, it's not to be flashy and shiny, but to be nice, clean, hygiene, you know what I mean, iron and everything else. So like I understand. But you say something very important, because in culture, corporate culture, you can see standouts guys with, you know, handmade tailor suits. But you said no need to have experienced suits. Why?
Yeah, look, I'm not saying that we should rock up to client meetings in our pajamas.
No, I didn't say that. Darren and I, how did you know Darren and I in pajamas? You know, no, I'm just joking. Like,
very restful today, isn't it, in the studio?
No, I didn't say that, Rucci. This is Mario Bekes' question. Question from me to you. But yeah. I said, like, you know, I mean, I didn't say, like, you know, we never stipulated. Yeah, but yep. I said, like, you know, you got us in pajamas. So, but why no need to have experience suit on a board meeting?
Yes.
But you can have, let's go sell some less expensive, flashy suit.
Yeah, because what happens is the impression we leave behind. And, you know, we judge a person within the first few minutes of meeting them. And we've been told that many times.
Yes.
Now, we tend to, when we say that to people and we give them advice, we keep focused on the external.
Mm-hmm.
However, if we know how to build good rapport with people, now I'm on the radio and you can't see me, I can't see you, but I think we're having a really wonderful conversation. You don't know what I'm wearing.
Thank you, yes.
And I don't know what you're wearing, right? So these external appearances absolutely don't matter if we can connect to the personality that we are talking to. And that's part of what leadership is about. Can we take lead in creating really good personal relationships in the first few minutes of talking to somebody? And if we can do that, and people can start trusting you, and for that you have to be authentic, because if we have a bad intent with which we approach a situation, people will see it through. They may not understand, but there's something that will put them away. So if we can create that trust immediately, people will really stop looking at what you're wearing. They won't focus on whether you've got a diamond or pearl or a $10 necklace or whether you've got a Gucci, Armani, whatever suit, or you're just buying something from Kmart, because they will be so focused on what you're saying. They'll be so focused on that human relationship that you've established that you'll carry it through from that. So I think when we say that people judge you in the first few minutes, absolutely they do. So we should really be very focused on how are we connecting that human interaction? How are we connecting that human relationship? And that's the beauty of the last 2 months that we were coming out of, you know?
I truly wish, Rucci, that everybody can hear in Australia. I truly believe that what you're saying is not just pleasing for my ears or Darren or the listeners. It is society we live, and I truly believe that we lost the balance and even the bearings and how society should live. Reason why I ask you that question, because recently, I mean, just before the COVID, you know, Australia closed the borders, I was in Dubai for work, and I was being advised that I should have the new shoes. And I said, but having new shoes. And I was told, not just new shoes, but the soles should be leather ones. So when you lift your leg, you have leather shoes. And I was like, what the freaking, I'll have the leather, leather on my... It doesn't make a sense to spend on the shoes, let's just say, additionally $500 just to show the leather soles, because I'm doing with my brain, with my hands and everything else. And I was strongly stipulated leather shoes on our meetings, because our clients are, you know, such. Unfortunately, one of their clients, he is on his island and he's asking for the help from the taxpayers for his business. But the thing is, I'm grateful for what you said. Zari has a question,
I was just worried if you're going to slip over in those shoes and cause more issues.
But the tragedy is what the Rucci, she says, that's Zari. I think that's a point that we see now during the COVID-19. All this blahs, big, you know, I mean, like, I'm the businessman, I'm decent. I mean, I truly admire a lot of people, but in the same token, I heard very vocal people during, you know, past 5 years, I would say, in the bracket. I couldn't hear them or see them during the COVID-19. But those people are, you know, I mean, be the most loudest, and the people who had been suppressed to hear that was being heard, they become leaders. And I believe that COVID-19 is going to be a new generation of the leaders. Maybe I'm mistaken, but I believe that's what it is.
And Mario, I believe that Rucci has brought out that word, authentic.
Yeah,
it's the people who are authentic.
That's the word. That's
that
the word.
Authentic. Yeah. It's very hard to be authentic in a time like this because there's not a strong microphone. There's not a platform for you. You actually got to have those one-on-one meetings with people, looking at them, understanding and listening, because it's much more about the voice at the moment than it is just the pretty picture or the expensive leather shoes, as you say.
Yes, but it's like I was offended, you know what I mean, but hearing how Ruchi, what she's saying, and she's a true expert, because it's like, you know, when you're reading the newspapers and everything else about leadership, and suddenly COVID comes, there's no leaders. But Ruchi, we'll take a short break. You can have a glass of water. Yeah. You're listening Live 90.5 Business Insights with us is Ruchi, and Darren and I come back later with more questions for Ruchi. Thank you for listening.
Alive 90.5.
With over 30 years' experience, you'll be in great hands at Granny Flat Leaders. The dream starts in your backyard. Our vision is to combine investment, design and construction to make your dream come to life. We want to help inspire you to make a change and experience great life improvements through Granny Flat Leaders. Call us now on 8076 1613 and ask us how. Or visit www.grannyflatleaders.com.au. Sponsor of the Jukebox Jive program.
Chambers Cellars Winston Hills, proudly independent cellars, has a wide selection of wines from Australia's unique wine regions, as well as local and international beers and spirits. Pop in and meet Mark and the team, who will give you the best advice at the right price. Open 7 days a week, Chambers Cellars, your local cellars for all your entertaining needs and for relaxation. Chambers Cellars, station sponsor.
Alive 90.5, broadcasting to the hills, Parramatta and Cumberland.
It's 30 minutes to one on Alive 90.5, 15 degrees, and you're on Business Insights with Mario.
Thank you, darling, again for a lovely introduction, and thank you to listeners to Alive 90.5 in Australia and globally. To all who tune on alive90.5.com.au website, you can listen and broadcast live via the website, and with us in the studio online. And again, I say I'm lying because she's not with us in studio. I love to say in studio, but online with us it is Ruchi. And I truly believe that everybody after this interview is going to tune in on alive90.5.com.au website and hear the interview with Ruchi. And she's truly, truly remarkable woman. And she knows what she's talking about when we talk about leadership. Ruchi, before we go for the, we take a break, I ask you for the latest shoes and why no expensive suits. And you said it's communication is very more important, as long as we're not in pajamas. Now, what are the qualities a leader needs to have? So we spoke about presentation, you know, the how to express themselves.
Yeah, so we were talking actually about leaders need to be able to be vulnerable as well. So that's something we miss out on.
There's, interesting. You know, interesting. What would you say vulnerable?
So
is that being like a crime area? Come to work as a my girlfriend left me alone. No, not that.
No, that's not what I mean. So what I really mean is that, you know, we talk about leaders and their qualities, and we always talk about these positive, really authoritative attributes, and that's all very good. But the one thing we miss is, again, the human aspect of any relationship. And like I was saying, that when we are vulnerable as a leader, we create a space for our team to step up and deliver, because nobody is perfect. And if I rock up to my work and collect my team together and pretend that I'm perfect, then that is real stupidity. And that's not going to do anything for us. Instead, because we've hired these experts, we believe in their ability. That's why we've hired them. We've been through the interview process. We've been through the recruitment process. We think we've hired the top notch. So why not allow them to do what we hired them for? Which means if there is a gap in my ability to do something, which is why I've hired the team member to prop up that gap, let's be open about it. Let's not pretend that we know something more than the person we've hired, because we don't. Now, what that does is it gives the team the space to grow in, step up, and start giving their best outcomes. So as a team, you start getting a really high-performing team, and that's your job. As a leader, your job is not to do everything. As a leader, your job is to get a high-performing outcome from your team, and that's what we need to be focused on. How do I get the best out of the different various type of personalities that make up my team? And that's where emotional intelligence comes in. And Darren, you asked me at the very beginning about self-awareness. That self-awareness is what will then help me create space where I can understand my team members better, and then I know how to work with them individually to get the best outcome. So together I have the best team, which is a single unit.
So, sorry,
I was just going to add in there that it's also best for your team to be able to know you, and that's where vulnerability really comes into it.
Absolutely, yeah.
And not really, just to share something about, well, my cat's doing whatever, but it's about allowing them to know enough of you so they can understand who you are and that you understand who they are, and that gives a greater connection.
That's a great one.
And, and then enables the conversation for the important, say, business talk to happen, as well as enabling other things to take place in those conversations.
So, Ruchi, on that, on continuing what Darren says, and you talking about showing the emotional side and vulnerabilities, I'm asking for the friend. His name is Mario Beckes. Now, can you describe us who are the type of people or corporations, you don't need to name them. I'm asking for myself, who would refuse to train their staff or leaders in a way you just right now talking?
You know what, Mario, I'm finding more and more organizations are understanding that leadership, and there's a lot that is being written about leading the team from within. So I'm really grateful for that shift that we are starting to see.
Yeah.
But I think we're still a very long way from taking it from theory into implementation. And it breaks my heart when I see some of the literal implementation that happens. So for example, the stuff that Darren, you just mentioned about, you know, talking about your cats and stuff.
Yes.
Now there's a lot of talk about building that personal relationship.
Yes.
And there's nothing worse than having a scheduled half an hour Monday morning where you sit in around the table and then you talk about what did you do on the weekend because you want to establish a relationship. That is pure nonsense. Because in that case, what you're doing is you're going through the motions. And a real relationship is, created when you meet somebody, you're walking into a lift or they're walking out of a lift and you ask them, how was your weekend? That's the time to create a relationship. Stop for that 30 seconds, 1 minute after you've asked the question and genuinely listen to the answer. And ask the question because you genuinely wanted to find out how their weekend was. Don't ask because some rubbish mentor told you to ask them a question. It's not going to get you the results. Yeah, Do it because you're genuinely interested.
I totally agree there, Ruchi. And then you need to remember what's important to them. And then that's, again, another enabling conversation enabler in the future as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, you'll be surprised how many clues you get to what works best with that individual person. And you can use that clue in a good way to then get the results that you want, because it's these little conversations that give us the clue. If somebody is not delivering, it's not because they're not good at it. They're not delivering because they lack something. It could be a resource, maybe a skill set. Maybe there is a situation at home that's taking up a lot of their brain.
I just love the interview with you, Ruchi, and I truly believe it's like once when we publish it, Darren and myself on the podcast with you, I'm truly hoping that people are going to draw from this interview a lot. Now, let's go drive to the COVID-19 period, which is today is a truly first one, easy restrictions in New South Wales, but even we can't have the face-to-face education and, you know, training. How did you cope and how did people accept it to be coached and trained over the webinars face-to-face through the camera? And what obstacles did you saw in that type of training and what did you achieve as well?
I think the obstacle was just my own mindset, Mario.
Really? Why the mindset? I love your honesty. Why the mindset?
Because I've always believed that I like face-to-face interactions, even though my background has been doing projects, which means I've been managing teams which have been multi-geography, so spread across continents, not just, desk spaces. So I'm very used to doing teleconferences and video conferences. But that is a different kind of a teleconference, video conference. This was more around connecting with people at a very personal level. Mm-hmm. So I always thought I prefer doing it face-to-face. So I've resisted going online. So that was the mindset I had to overcome. With COVID-19, I didn't have a choice. And also the technologies move, the technologies become much more user-friendly. And because of COVID-19, people were willing to accept a few, things. If they don't work out well, they understand that you've quickly set up something online. So that was taken care of. So a lot of these objections were just objections in my mind, which COVID-19 suddenly took away. And when I did my first webinar, and I've been running free webinars since COVID-19, I've had really good response.
Why the free webinars, Ruchi? Why didn't you say my knowledge costs $5,000 for 5 minutes, what would you run for free, Ruchi? What would you share the knowledge? Or did you, like, I know you, but it's like I can't say on your behalf. I know you're kind of generous person, and you just demonstrated this. You just translated your knowledge into your voice, and your voice now hitting over 2 million people in this radio show. So how and why did you know how? Well, why would you train people during the COVID-19 when everybody's feeling a little bit depressed? Maybe not everybody. It's like, I don't have no statistics, but let's just say, let's go with that. The thinking that people are confined in their homes and you're done for free, teaching them and trained to be better leaders?
There's a few reasons, Mario. Number one, people have more time, for good or for bad. They do have more time. Mm-hmm. And there are people who want to get extra trained. But also what webinars does is it gives the people a flavor of what it would be like to work with me, should they choose to work with me. And frankly, I've got so much experience by now, Mario, that I'm very willing to share it with people. And if I can make even a tiny bit of difference, why not? And the webinars are more interactive masterclasses, really. I think webinars are the wrong term. I don't even cover the tip of the icebergs that I would cover in my full program, and yet people get value out of it. So it's a two-way process. If I'm able to give something, it gives me stuff back in return, which is the satisfaction that the knowledge, the experience I've gained is not going to go waste.
That was wonderful. Well, it's time to wrap it up our interview, and as I'm going to make it sure that Darren and I find a space for our radio show to appear in person in our studio. I'd like to say thank you for being our guest today. But before we wrap it up, Ruchi, how the people can contact you? How they need to contact you? Where to contact you? Where the chocolate scents and so these things?
So first of all, thank you so much, Darren and Mario, for having me on the show and being such wonderful hosts. I've had a great time.
Pleasure.
Thank you. Where can you find me? My website is called successculture.com. It's one word, successculture.com. But I'm best found on LinkedIn, really. So look me up, Ruchi Motiyal Suri. You'll find the spelling of the name. It's phonetically spelled. Luckily for the world, there's only one person in the whole world with that name, so you can't get it wrong.
Oh my God, that's a good to know.
Well, you won't get it wrong.
Yeah. So, Ruchi, thank you so much. Everybody who's interested for Ruchi interview today, I truly believe that all people who are interested in leadership and want to have the best coach in the planet, I truly suggest you contact and listen Ruchi on alive90.5.com.au, the website. You're going to find under the Business Insights with Mario, you're going to find the podcast from today. Ruchi, once again, thank you on behalf of the Alive 90.5 Business Insights with Mario.
Thank you very much, guys. It was really enjoyable talking to you guys.
Are you going to talk more? Yes.
See you then.
See Mike Sampson Clothier at Winston Hills. He's some great business suits. In fact, suits for any special occasion. Mike also has a complete range of accessories, such as business or formal shirts, ties, belts and shoes, as well as plenty of casual wear for the season ahead. Mike Sampson Clothier is located at Shop 21 Winston Hills Mall and is a proud sponsor of Monday Magazine with Happy Jack. And, of course, your sound, your community, 90.5.